I'm going to preach this morning on a subject that I just don't have the... I'm still working through it, but I'm calling it the Kingdom of Heaven. And I just knew I had to preach on the Kingdom and what it means. But it's a very difficult subject, and I tried to read a lot about it. But I tried to understand what the Kingdom of God is all about. So what is the Kingdom of God? We know that God is sovereign. We talked about the sovereign rule of God. What does it mean to be sovereign? But it's sovereign is perfect in every way. Sovereign is probably the only word that we can give to God, because God is sovereign. He's higher, he's more powerful, he's got more authority than anything else. That everything that was made by God. That God is the sovereign ruler of the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom, our world, because our world is sinful, it does not belong to the kingdom of God and its rulership, because we're not submitting to his rulership. But yet, the kingdom of God is in heaven, but the kingdom of God is also amongst us, amongst his people. So, looking at what the kingdom is, when you read in the Bible and you're trying to figure out what it says about the kingdom, it says in Matthew 13 verse 11 that Jesus answered them and he said to them, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So what Jesus is saying is that to his disciples, the ones who surrendered to him, he's given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to the others, he was speaking in parables. And the parables was, he was like telling them parables like, the kingdom of God may be like a man who sows good seed, and the seeds fall, and then, or the kingdom of heaven is like someone who sows a seed, a grain of mustard seed, and then this field that comes from that. Or it is a merchant seeking of a pearl of great price, and then he finds this one pearl and he sells everything. Or it is the kingdom of God of heaven is like a net being thrown into the sea, and then it catches all this fish, and all the fish comes out, and then they sort out the fish. Or the kingdom of God is like an invitation to wedding guests, but they don't respond to it. So there's many parables and stories that Jesus is giving to explain what the kingdom of God is. But Luke 17 verse 20 says, when the Pharisees ask him when the kingdom of God will come, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. We cannot see the kingdom around us. We cannot see this is the kingdom, or that there it is. It says, nor will they say, look, here it is, or therefore behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. So it cannot be seen, but we can know it is here. The kingdom is, but it's not yet, is another description that was given. So God's kingdom has come, but it's not yet come fully. In Revelation, it says, when the seventh angel blew the trumpet, this is going to happen in the future. This is a prophecy that God has given to us. There was loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever. So we know we live in this world. There's sin, there's bad things that's happening to good people, to bad people. We pray and we ask God, but we see the promises in the kingdom of God, but yet we there's so much suffering here. So we know when Jesus returns, he's going to establish a new kingdom in the fullness of it. There will be no sin. There will be the lamb and the lion will be together. There will be a blessing. There will be the fullness of God all around us. So we know God's kingdom is coming now, but the fullness will come when he returns. So, but we are also redeemed in this kingdom. Colossians says, he, Jesus, has delivered us from the domain of darkness. So there's a domain of darkness on this world, and he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Because of faith, because we believe in Christ, he transfers us out of darkness to this kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the beloved Son. And then in Him, in Christ, we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. Out of darkness, into this light, this redemption, we've been made free, and we have forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So we're not no longer part of the darkness, we're no longer slaves, we're no longer under suffering, but we're taken out of this. We're redeemed from sin, from bad things in our lives, from curses, from covenants that was made with darkness, and we come into this new kingdom, the kingdom of God, where we are free, where we've been set free. And this kingdom of God is holy, and there's holiness, there's goodness in this kingdom. God's the kingdom of this world of darkness, there's so much evil, destruction and suffering, but in God's kingdom, there's blessing, there's goodness that happens in His kingdom. Then continue reading in Colossians 1, verse 16 says, For by Christ, all things were created. All things was created by Christ. In heaven and on earth, visible things and invisible things. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. So it's talking about other kingdoms, even the kingdom of darkness. All kingdoms, everything was made by God. Everything God made. All the dominions, all the rulers, all the authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Everything that was made through Christ and was made for Him. God made us. God made all of us for Him. He made it because it pleased Him. He made it because He loves us. He made it because He wanted to. So we, all of us, the things that we can see, the things we cannot see, was made through God for Himself. And then it says, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. So before anything was made, God was there, Christ was there, and in Him all things hold together. Now, and He says it so beautifully, He says, I just get the words right, but God can be self-centered because everything revolves around Him anyway, because He's made everything. And to be self-centered sounds selfish if it's us, but because it is, because we think we become God, but everything was made by God, for God, and He holds everything together because God is sovereign. He is the King of this kingdom. So, the King, Jesus, of this kingdom comes to earth. And He is on earth, and just before Him there's this man, John the Baptist, and he announces Jesus. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Jesus comes, He gets baptized, the Spirit of God comes upon Him, He gets led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tested, and He's fasting for 40 days. After He fasted for 40 days, and He comes out, and He starts preaching, and He preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The first sermon that Jesus preaches, the first thing that He preaches is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I just went to go and look at the word repent again. And the word was translated, the word is metanoia in Greek. But when it was translated to the Latin, they translated it a bit to a different word where it means, I'm sorry for my sins. Which we take repent to be. But repent is so much more than that. Repent means a complete turn around in who I am. The words that to describe repentance says it's a change of mind, but it's not only your mind that changes, your actions, your trends, everything that you do, everything around you that changes. So there's a change of your inner nature, of your intellectual, of your feelings, your emotions, your moral values, all of it changes. It was this way, now it completely changes to that way. And that's what repentance means. This is, I used to be here, now I'm not here anymore. I'm completely in a different place. There's a complete turnaround. And where Jesus says, repent, turn out of where you are. Come to me, because the kingdom of God is here. And some translations translate it as turn from their sins and turn to God. So turn away from the world, turn to God. And that's what repentance is saying to us. Turn away from the world, turn to me with everything. Surrender everything that we have to God, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Surrender all that we have. Your job, your careers, your aspirations, everything that we have. Surrender all of those things and turn to Christ. Then Jesus, when he preached, Matthew 4, and I think this is very important for me. Matthew 4, verse 23 says, Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, and he proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then it says, and healing every disease and every affliction amongst the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. All that was brought to him, he healed. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. He teached, he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and then he healed the sick. So people knew the king is here. The kingdom is coming. And then he proved it by healing the sick, showing his goodness. And you know, this thing where we pray and that God, if it's your will to heal, it's God's will. Because there's no person that ever said, no, I'm not healing you. Every person that ever came to Christ, he healed. I believe that that is the kingdom. That's that healing. That's that being set free by God. Then another example, Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed every disease and every affliction. He healed every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Jesus had great compassion for the crowds. And then he said, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into the harvest. And the more I'm looking at what the kingdom means, here it is. He preached the kingdom of God, and his kingdom is about gathering. It's nets, it's a sowing, but then there's people that respond to the seed that's been sown. There are nets that's thrown out and fish that comes in. When the fish comes in, there's separation. Those for God, those who are not for God. There's sheep and there's goats. There comes and there goes. But God's heart is to bring in. And he says this bringing in. And then in that, as he brings healing, as he preaches, he says we must pray for the harvest. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. There are few people who have a heart for the harvest, to go out in the harvest, to bring God's people to him. And I really believe this is what God's heart is. Now, Luke 10, this message that Jesus brought, he instructed to us as well. And this following scripture was the scripture that I got before we went to Sri Lanka. Luke 10, verse 9, that says, heal the sick, in it say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick, and then say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, I just say example in Sri Lanka, but I shared this message. I shared this before, but we went to Makassar one day, and I was very tired. Gerard was still with me, when Petrus and Louis and Tani Belinda. And they were worshipping, and the next moment I had four words that I believe God gave me. And I said to when Petrus, and then he said, I'm going to share it. And the next moment, these people came forward. Four people were standing in front of me. Then I prayed, Then the next moment, just I could feel the presence of God like I've never felt before. Many people got healed. People like got deliverance right there. People had manifested, and now everyone wants to pray. And we were just praying for a lot of people. And I remember there was two things that really stood out for me, because I only heard of it 6 months later. But the one lady came to me and said to her, her baby's in hospital. If I can just pray for this baby. And I heard granddaughter is in hospital, it's a baby. So I prayed for her and blessed you and gave her a hug. And then the other one was this other lady who said her husband is an alcoholic, if I can just pray for him as well. But 6 months later, I heard the testimony that this lady with a grandchild, that baby got dismissed from hospital that night. The husband came home, the other one, and he said, I'm finished drinking. I cannot continue my life like this. But it's just the kingdom of God. And now, when God has a miracle like that, then you say, it's Jesus. Like in Sri Lanka, we were in the team. Now, we're very nervous. And I think the Charlie's Angels can identify with that. Because now all the pressure is on you. You've got to like do something or whatever. And you're so dependent and you're prayed up. And you're so excited for what God can do. But you're so afraid that God might not do anything. But we went to this house, and there was these two, this older lady that couldn't walk. She couldn't walk properly. She couldn't stand barely. So we prayed for her, and then we asked her to start to walk. And then she starts walking, and she's got, her eyes goes like this. And we say, it's Jesus. And the power of God. It's just now, you don't have to bring sermons. You can just tell this is Christ. Now, a choice between Buddha and Jesus is very, very easy to make. It's Jesus that healed me. He's the one that is alive. He's the one that really is alive. In Matthew 10, verse 7 says, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. I really believe there's a component of God's kingdom, when God's kingdom comes, that people get healed, that people get set free from demons, from all of these things that is oppressing them, because the kingdom of God is being preached to them. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God does not consist out of talk, but in power. So we can come with many words and telling many stories, but it doesn't change lives. It's when the power of God is there that lives get changed. And this is where I'm really putting my faith out. Because Jesus says, if I'm not doing the works of my Father, don't believe in me. If I'm not doing the works of the Father, don't believe in me. If there's not power to transform people, don't believe. Because that's not Christ. That's not the Spirit of God. And that is my faith. And that is not what's challenging me. This is what I believe God is speaking to me specifically about. We cannot go and tell long stories if there's no power there. I really am very challenged with this at this stage. But yet, how do we enter this kingdom? Jesus says, truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. We cannot see this kingdom here. But if we are not born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. This, because this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom too. Here on earth, it's spiritual. And John continues in John 3 verse 5 says, Jesus says, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So unless we are born of the Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because I believe what it says, when the water breaks, a baby gets born in the natural. But when we are reborn again, we are born spiritually. So something gets activated in us. God's Spirit comes in us and we get activated and we are excited about things of the kingdom of God. We want to read the Bible. We want to praise. We want to pray something in our spirit. We want to do things of God. Something in us has been activated because God's Spirit, because it's in line with God's Spirit. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So there's a difference between the flesh and the spirit. There's a fleshly wisdom and there's a spiritual wisdom. And we try to figure things out with our minds, but we're not getting frustrated because that is earthly, that's demonic. But it's the spirit that gives life. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by the spirit, says the Lord. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. If we're struggling with sin and stuff, it's because it shouldn't be there if God's spirit is there. Because where God's spirit is, there is freedom. And then it says that, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. So Jesus is hammering this point, we must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So we can hear the wind, we can see it, but we can't. We can see the leaves move, but we can't see where the wind actually is. And so it is with the Spirit. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So you can see this. Someone is renewed. Someone is changed when they are born again. Your life changed. There's a difference in you of who you were and who you now are. You have different desires, different needs. You have an excitement of things that you never used to have because the Spirit of God has been born in you. I see a brother there nodding, but he wants to be at everything that he can. Even he takes a break. I remember when I got born again, I sat at work reading the Bible. I just couldn't get enough of it. And reading in the Old Testament, especially in Kings, I got so upset with the world. Can't you see that we are doing exactly as kings? But there's a process in you that happens and you have such an excitement for the things of God. Romans 14 verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We can be righteous and try and do things out of work and try and be joy. Hello, yellow. and have peace. Okay, peace. I don't have peace. But there's a place that it is there because we are in the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is there because we are in the Spirit. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's faithfulness, there's goodness, there's self-control because the Spirit is there. The power of the Spirit, this power of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit is there because the Holy Spirit is there. It's not because we're trying to get these things right. Jesus says, in this kingdom, you'll give us keys. And Anne-Marie also talked about the keys. But Jesus said to Peter, I will build this church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Jesus is building this church. He's building His church. And there's a global church and there's a local church. But the local churches all consist of the global church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one Christ. And He is building His church. He's the leader of this church. We follow Him. He talks. He's the shepherd. And we listen to Him and we follow Him. We follow Christ. And the church, there's a place where we, in the church, we belong to a church. And in this church, we build this church as Christ builds the big church. We build it through Christ. I believe there's a place God wants us to be in small families, that we can be accountable to one another, that we can grow as iron sharpens iron, so we get sharpened, that we can be held accountable to the things of God as we grow, as we have questions, as a brother or sister falls, that there's people around them, that we can get to know them. Because as Anne-Marie said, if we are so big, we don't know the people. But God wants us to know one another, to get to know one another intimately. That's why I believe there are local churches that is all part of the bigger church. That's why we have members. If there's one member missing, if one member suffers, the whole body suffers. So we all are part of the body of Christ. But Christ is building this church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God gives us keys. And I really believe in our prayer, in our intercession, in the time that we spend with God, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we had a word in intercession the one morning, and I really want to just share my concern here. there's an aspect where some people believe that all we have to do is to come into the presence of God, which is true. We must come into the presence of God. But when God gives us keys, we must respond to the keys. If the key is go to Johan and give him a hug, I can resist that key because Johan is upset with me. And I'm not going to go to Johan because he's upset with me and he's probably going to give me he's going to make me feel terrible. So, but God wants to restore our relationship and I don't want to go, I don't want to take this key because I'm resisting what the Holy Spirit is. So there's a place that I just believe God wants us to respond to His voice in the Spirit. And that's where the breakthrough is. I really believe so much breakthrough, so much healing, so much great things can happen if we can respond to the keys that God has given us. But we're resisting those keys because we don't, and it's like we've been hurt and been going through tough times and we don't want to put ourselves out there. But I believe God says, I will give you the keys, and what we bind on earth will be bind in the Spirit. So Satan is coming to bring division against us. He's coming to bring distrust amongst us, that we don't trust one another, that we don't care for one another because my brother has done this or my sister has done that. So now I don't trust and I'm getting separated. Oh, look what is happening there. I can't be part of this. And this is what he wants to do. So he wants to bind, he wants to close doors, but we can close those doors and we can open the doors for God's blessing to flow through. Because, you know, we many times look at what is happening in other people and we use it as an excuse not to do anything. So God is saying, go out to the nations, be love, all those things. He says, but I can't do this because Theo is not doing that. So I'm not going to do that. And I believe this is what the devil is really winning, because it's a battle for our minds. And God is not going to say to you, why didn't you go to do what I've called you to do? He said, no, but Theo or Fred or whoever done that. He says, no, I called you to go. So we must go not because other people are doing it. We must go because God has instructed us to go. So there's a place of obedience where God has spoken to us and we respond to what God is saying, not to what people are saying, but to God. Because God is building this church. He's building the church for all of us. So when God, when you pray and you're in your quiet time and you get this thought, and this thought comes, Johan, sorry, I'm picking on Johan. And I'm like, oh yes, I bind this thought in the name of Jesus. Just write Johan's name down and say, okay, I'll phone Johan. Even if you don't know why you've got to phone Johan, it's maybe because God is speaking to you because He's loving Johan and He wants something for Johan, or He wants to restore something or whatever. And this is where I believe in our quiet time, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, that we respond to what He is saying, what He is saying to us in that place. Hebrews says, we must, at this time, you only have from verse 28, but I just want to read to you from verse 26. At this time, His voice, God's voice, shook the earth. But now He has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Then it says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So God, by His voice, He's shaking, and everything is doing this, and it's like an earthquake. I heard there was another earthquake in Gauteng, only 5 point something. I heard of this one EFF member, I won't say any names, but he said, what earthquake? And then he said, no, on some scale, it was 6.4, but he demands 10.4. So when an earthquake comes, everything shakes, and everything that falls over is not from God. But what remains is the kingdom of God. And we've been shaken, and things have been falling off. And all the things that's been falling off is not from God. Because what remains is the kingdom of God. Because that cannot be shaken. God's kingdom cannot be shaken. So let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence, awe of who God is. Because our God is an all-consuming fire. We must seek the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, 31 says, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The Gentile seeks after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, that we need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. And this is a challenge. Where are we going to get money from? Where are we going to get food from? What if this doesn't happen? What for my baby? What for this? All these things. And we're getting so worried. But we cannot do anything about it anyway. And we're getting so anxious and afraid and all these things. But God's saying, seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be given unto us. Then Matthew, and I was not going to add the scripture, but Matthew 11 verse 12 says, the days of John the Baptist until now, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. I've been at a course or where this these people from Nigeria came to speak to us, and it was so amazing. But Yaku got it completely wrong. I asked him if his brother, his mother and father won't come to us tonight. So I see he didn't listen. So Yaku, this is a rebuke. I'll give you a hiding a little bit later on. But Yaku's dad, Oom Kritzinger, he lives next to Fred, Pastor Fred. And Pastor Fred said he was walking with his dog and he was praying. And there was a stage where he just said, God, we need help here. We need help. And then he said, God, just send someone help because I need help. And then as he came to his house, Oom Yaku, Dani, Oom Dani, and this man from Nigeria was standing at his house. And Pastor Fred said, they were talking, and then he said, he asked him, this man from Nigeria said, why are you here? And he said, God has given me a instruction which I've not yet completed. And then the man said, speak no more. And then he started speaking to him, and Pastor Fred said, they were like two teenagers who were in love with one another. They just wanted to pray. But now, and all the guys said, oh, Nigeria, are you sure? But they are business partners of the Kritzingers. And then but they also have a ministry called the End Time Ministry. And this one lady came to minister to us. Her name is Evangelist Mercy Oko. And they're coming here tonight. And that's why we wanted Oom Dani to be here tonight, because they're coming here tonight. But they ministered to us, and they are so humble. They paid for their own airline ticket for all of them to come here, because God has given them instruction to come to Stellenbosch specifically. Because there's something happening in Stellenbosch that is withholding the blessing for South Africa. So they've been talking to us and blessing us and really speaking to us about war, about prayer, about fighting, about what God has done against us, against this church. Lynette and I had the privilege to go and pray with them. As she prayed, I just knew, oh my word, this is exactly what is happening in our church. This is why. So I just want to repent to everybody. I repented, and it was good. It's good for me to repent, because that's when we get set free. When you just say, God, I forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. I've done that wrong, God. Forgive me. And, you know, so there's such a place in the kingdom today, or in the church, where it will not tell us that we should not repent. We must just come into the presence of God. And I want to say to you, that is demonic. We must repent. repent. When God says repent, repent, because that's where the freedom is. We get all that filth get washed away from us. When Daniel does something, he comes to us, he says, "I guess jammer, Papa." And that's, then I know that rebellion is out of him. Then I don't have to help him from underneath. But there's a place that God comes and he wants us to say sorry so that he doesn't have to come and help us from the bottom. And I think there's so much that has been happening, but the violence, we've been suffering violence, but it's time to take it by force, violently. And this is not, we're not hitting anyone, but we come violent in the spirit where we pray and we ask God and we declare and we decree and we stand on that what God has given us, that it was ours, not to take shots anymore because we are feeling sorry for ourselves. And I just want to talk about violence or wrestling. Jacob wrestled with God. There's a wrestling that's taking place and there's this constant pressure. And, you know, please pray for Pastor Jeremiah because he wants to run away. He wants to run away. He can't take the pressure anymore. I've been so many times wanting to run away because there's such tremendous pressure, so many accusations, so many stuff that comes, and you want to give in. You want to run away. You just want to quit. You can't do it anymore. And then this lady says to us, "But God has called you. Who are you? You are His servant. A servant doesn't tell the master what he wants to do. He obeys the master." And I'm like, "Well, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry." But we submit to God. We resist the devil. We are strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. So we put on this armor that we're able to stand, that we're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We wrestle against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over darkness, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We take our armor that we may able to be withstand in the evil day. Having done all, stand firm. That's what the Bible's saying. Stand, stand, wrestle, resist. These forces, darkness, it's over us. It wants to destroy us. It wants to destroy us. And it will not stop if we quit. It will continue. It will get worse. The only thing standing between us and darkness is us standing or not. Because Jesus is not coming to do it. The church is doing it. He has called us to do it. He's done it already on the cross. He's paid the price. It's overcome. Now we must stand. She said to us, God spoke to us, them, specifically. She said, and it's now the second time when Dr. Batase was here, he said the same. But they said to us, they don't know one another. God showed them that if we don't pray, Islam is going to take over South Africa. And then she said, the groundwork has been laid. And that lady, that friend of ours, a Muslim person that got saved from a town, Anton shared it here, I think, did he? But just that story again, when he got saved, they said, "Come and work for us, come and work for us." And he said, "No, no." And he said, "We just want to warn you, the groundwork has been laid. The groundwork has been laid. And we as Christians must stand. We must stand. We must pray." God is warning us, and He's warned the Israelites many times, and they said, "It cannot happen, it cannot happen." But it's long past that. We as the church are called to pray, to stand, to fight for the kingdom of God. To fight for the kingdom of God. And this is where I want to finish, that we must pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's saying that we must pray. Our Father, hallowed be Your name. Lord, that Your kingdom come, that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I really ask in the name of Jesus that we put our differences aside. And that we really come to God and saying, "Why am I part of the body of Christ? Am I here to receive a sermon? Or am I here because God's kingdom?" a house divided against itself cannot stand. The body of Christ is taking shots, our church is taking shots because we are divided against ourselves. I really pray that we come to that place where we unite in Christ and repent of unforgiveness and hardness of heart and bitterness and saying, I'm standing back. But that all of us come to that place where we stand in love, seeking God with all our hearts, seeking the kingdom of God in our own homes. If there's stuff in our lives, asking God to remove it, that we can walk in holiness before God, that God's kingdom can come. You know, there's about 40,000 people living in Somerset West, 40,000 in Strand, 60,000 people in Umzamo, 20,000 in Gordon's Bay. There's probably 100 people here. And the Bay Church might probably have 500 people here. The Dutch Reformed Church might have, let's say, 500 people there, some of them less. It's not even a percent of the people in this place. I really believe that we must ask God for Muslim people to get saved. That because that's just going to get more. You know, in Europe, according to stats, if you have less than 1.6 child per family. Now, I'm still working out at 0.6. What does a 0.6 child look like? But it's stats, apparently. They say it's stats. Then, after that, if your civilization drops to that, then you can't recover as a people. Because eventually you'll have too many old people. You'll not have enough young people to support the old people in the group. Europe is, on average, 1.2. On average, 1.2 people. So they're way below that level. But the Muslim people, Islam people in Europe, is 8 children per family. They themselves says in 40 years' time, there will be Sharia law in Europe. They're well on their way. Many people have been warning Europe that it's going to go that way. This evangelist Mercy said the same in Nigeria. People said it's impossible, it cannot happen. You know, in Nigeria is a Islam a country, and we're not standing. We divided, we upset, we fight, we moan, we're not getting standing up, we're not praying. It's a call in Jesus' name that we stand. I want to ask you to come tonight, that you're here, that we just receive impartation, that we can really come to that place where we say, God, we stand for the kingdom of God. It's not about Shofar, Somerset West. It's not about any denomination. It's about the Church of Christ. But if we are planted here, then we are planted here. If you must go to a different church, then you must go to that church and be a blessing in that church. But it doesn't help anyone to sit here and be offended and not taking part. We have to stand and unite in the Spirit of God and to all work together, pull together, to have our children to be equipped, because our children is going to face much worse things than we are facing right now. We have to equip our children. We need help. We need help that our children can be spirit-filled, that when they go into a school, the school changes because the Spirit of God is upon their lives. They call in the promises of God in that school. So my heart this morning is, I'm asking, please pray. And not, you know, we can do all the prayer things that all the different prayer people are doing out there. But God says that I command a blessing where my brethren dwells together in unity. It's 2 or 3 people that pray where they agree. We can ask whatever we want. It's not a prayer chain. It's agreement. The prayer of agreement. And this is why marriage is so important. Because a husband and a wife, that is one, there's agreement. And God says, where 2 people agree in my name, they can ask you whatever you want. So we can come and pray in my doctrine and your doctrine. And those prayers avails nothing. But the prayer of the righteous avails much. That we focus on the kingdom of God. That people can come into the kingdom. Because the harvest is ready. The laborers of you. in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I just want to thank you, God, this morning that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And God, we submit to your rulership, Lord, as King. God, we declare that your kingdom is sovereign, Lord. It's holy, it's good, it's beautiful. Your kingdom is love. And Father, we pray, God, that your kingdom come here in Somerset West, Lord. In Somerset West, Shofar, Lord. In our families, in our circle of friends, Lord. In Strand, in Gordon's Bay, Lord. In our businesses, that your kingdom come in our schools, Lord. That your kingdom come on the beach, Lord. That your kingdom come in the bars. That your kingdom come in coffee shops, Lord. As it is in heaven, Lord. God, I pray for your will to be done, Lord. God, I pray for your kingdom to come in our marriages, Lord. In our children's lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God, we pray that we will stand, Lord, as one in Jesus' name. God, we ask you, Lord God, and we come this morning and we just want to repent that we've been anxious about many things, God. Anxious about food, anxious about drink, anxious about having to wear certain clothes, anxious to where will my children go to school, anxious about all these things, God. But we've not been seeking your kingdom. Father, I pray, Lord, that we will not get distracted by the things of this world, the traffic, the times that I have to spend, the activities that needs to be done, all these things, and we're not seeking the kingdom of God. Lord, so many people are going to hell, Lord. And we pray, God, give us a heart for your kingdom again, Lord. Give us a heart for Jesus, for the kingdom of God, Lord. That we can come together as one in the name of Jesus.